All right, today we're continuing our series called Healthy In, Healthy Out. And our topic today is cultivate romance. And a couple of weeks ago, we began this fall version of Healthy In, Healthy Out. Healthy In, Healthy Out is our theme for the year, that if you put healthy in, what's going to happen? Healthy is going to come out. It's just the nature of it. It's just the way it is. You put good stuff in your brain, good stuff is going to come out. Put good stuff in your body is going to become good. It's just the way it is. You put God in your heart, you put love in your heart, and this is specifically where we are right now in these few weeks, is if you let God's love come in you, what's going to happen? His love is going to come out. The key to being a loving person is letting God love you. When you let God's love come in, then you can love others. Scripture says this, we love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. So not only is it a command of God, because I loved you, you love others. It also is because He loves us, I want to love others. I want to let love come out. C.S. Lewis talks about four kinds of love, and this is what we've kind of structured this series around as we've done it over the last few weeks. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about cultivating affection. It's called storge. Affection. This love is the most broadly experienced kind of love. It's parental care, but it's also nostalgia. So when you have a good smell that comes in and all of the sudden it releases all of these memories that you have about something, you say, oh, I love that smell. Oh, I love that song. I love that situation, or I love this day. Don't you? I mean, when I walked out this morning, I had good memories flood my mind because of the way that it felt, 61 degrees when I walked out at first. Last week, we talked about friendship love. Friendship love, phileo or philia. This love comes with friendship, two or more people that have purpose together. All right, and so we talked about understanding that God gives us great purpose as a church family together so that we can have friendship as we grow. The third one we're going to talk about today, and that is romantic or eros, being absorbed in each other, an insatiable appetite to be with each other. You all know what that is, don't you? All right, and so the fourth one we'll talk about next week, charity. Agape love, that is God's love. And this is what God flows into us, and it's from agape that all of these others flow out of us to others. So let's talk today about eros, romantic love. I heard about a young man who was buying an expensive bracelet to surprise his girlfriend on Valentine's Day. And he went to the nice jewelry shop, and the jeweler said, hey, would you like your girlfriend's name to be engraved on it? And he thought about it. And then he said, no, instead, I'd like you to engrave this, to my one and only love. The jeweler looked at him and he said, oh, that's wonderful, man. That's so romantic of you. That's great. And the young man said, well, not exactly romantic, but it is practical. I want you to put that on there because this way, if we break up, I can use it again. So first understand, as we move into this, it is God who gives you the ability and the desire to have this kind of love. It is God that gives you the ability and the desire to have romantic love. So often we separate romantic love as though it's not a godly thing. But understand, this is a love that is given from God. It's part of agape that's flowing out of you. And this is why it's so important for our young people. Listen up to me. When you choose somebody that you want to live with for the rest of your life, you want romance, don't you? That's the hope. That's the ideal. Y'all aren't even answering me. Do you want romance? Okay, we got a thumbs up, at least one. When you choose somebody, you need to choose somebody that loves God and is going to let God love them. Because when you have that, it allows them to also romantically love you and love you greatly. It's a wonderful thing. So it's a huge reason why you need to make sure that you're equally yoked with somebody. It's a huge incentive. Let God love you so that you can love your spouse. It's awesome. The Apostle Paul talked about some people having what he called the gift of celibacy. And celibacy is where basically they do not have the burning desire to love someone romantically. Instead, all of their romantic love is connected to God instead. And Paul applauded this. He said, man, it's great if you can live without having a spouse, if you can live without the weight of having wife or husband and children and the weight of financially providing for them, and you get to focus all of your attention on the kingdom of God. Paul was like, man, that is great. And honestly, that's the way to go. Paul encouraged it. But then he said, but for those of you, which is probably all of us, that have a burning desire because of his purpose for them in our lives, if you have a desire for romance in your life, that means there's someone out there that you are to connect with. There's someone out there that God will help you to find them. And God will prepare you for that person if you let him. So your prayer at this point, if you are single, is, God, I have this desire. Would you prepare me for that other person? Otherwise, God, put peace in my heart that I may remain celibate and focus all of my attention on my relationship with you for the rest of my life. And Paul said, man, that's a great thing. But if you're married, it is your responsibility to maintain and cultivate romantic love until you die. It's your responsibility. Now imagine with me a bridge that connects you and your spouse. What does that bridge look like? Imagine that bridge. When you first got married, it was beautifully decorated. You had lights on it like our chapel here has. It looks beautiful at night. Those white Christmas lights. And you guys would walk on the middle of that bridge, proverbially speaking. And you'd stop at the middle of that bridge and you'd watch the water just flow under the bridge. And it was so beautiful and you had such a beautiful and romantic relationship. And sometimes, though, when life started happening, you would have to go all the way across the bridge and find your spouse and say, hey, wake up, I'm here. Let's be together. And sometimes they would have to come and through the years walk all the way across the bridge and find you and say, hey, let's be together. Wake up. Everything's going to be okay. That bridge has always been there. But here's the problem. The bridge sometimes gets full of debris from life's problems and life's hardships. Problems you faced, tragedies along the way, fights, hardships, children, parents or in-laws, failed Thanksgivings, missed anniversaries, or financial problems, or health issues. And there's debris all over the bridge, and after years of marriage, some bridges have gotten old and some bridges are unkept and cluttered and full of debris from all of the problems and struggles and difficulties in life that you face together. And instead of cleaning it up, instead of dealing with those things as you grew and as you moved forward, those things just laid there and got old and rusted and they're in the way and it's hard to get past it to get to each other anymore. And I have people all the time tell me this, well, John, it just shouldn't have to be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard. I've lost that loving feeling and I don't even know how to connect with them again. I don't know how to get it back. What happened? Through the years, there's been a lot of water that comes under the bridge. And what happens, it just has trash that just collects around the bridge. And accidents have happened on the bridge. And the bridge might still be there, or the bridge is still there. It's still there, but it looks old and it looks tattered. And it isn't the romantic bridge anymore. The lights haven't been kept. It's not something that you turn on and can walk and meet each other in the middle or even feel comfortable with crossing anymore. There's trash from all the fights. There's debris from the accidents. And now, where you used to stand in the middle and look at the water flowing underneath and hold each other, there's a sign that says, bad memory. Something happened when you were there, and you haven't gone back since together. It's time to clean up the debris. It's time to clean up the debris. It's time to rekindle the romance with the love that God gives you to begin to flow into one another again. It's time to deal with the stuff that keeps you from going to the bridge or going across the bridge. The greatest marriages are passion-filled marriages that last 50 or 60 years, right? I saw this week someone made it to 75 years. Imagine that. They were gumming each other. But these passion-filled marriages that last that long, here's what their bridge looks like. It's a museum. Beautiful showcases. And every time they approach the bridge, they look and see the showcase of all their memories. The beautiful moments in their life and the difficult moments in their life. That time there was a miscarriage and they lost a baby. Instead of that moment lying on the ground in disarray as something that just brings pain to them every time, they look and they say, we conquered that together. That time an F5 tornado went through our neighborhood, we conquered that together. That time our home got struck by lightning, we conquered that together, and it's showcased. Instead of it being laying there in a pile of rubble, we feel good about it, and it's a wonderful thing. That financial hardship, that time where we didn't know what we were going to get, what we were going to do, and how we were going to pay for food. The criticism of people, failure, here it is, it's showcased. We fought that, we made it together. Physical problems, health problems, emotional problems, all the raising of children, all of these things, instead of it being piles of rubble, we can walk past those and embrace one another and enjoy the fact that we have conquered the world together with God's love and with God's help. So going across that bridge could be like watching old family videos. And you sit and you enjoy and you say, wow, we've come so far and we still look great. It can fill you with joy and hope. Here's what's important to know. It's God that made you able to express this kind of love. God gave this to you. God gave you your body. God gave you the ultimate human expression of physical intimacy. God gave that to you. And God wants you to be able to be together till death do you part in a loving and romantic way. Oh, come on. That deserves a hand clap. Aren't you guys excited about that? I don't know. Maybe COVID has got you so cooped up that you don't need to. Someone was talking about December and January being a baby booming couple of months, so maybe that's what I'm dealing with. You see, Satan never wants you to cross this bridge. He doesn't want you to be together. He doesn't want marriages to be happy and romantic. Satan does not want that in your life. He doesn't want beautiful romance. Why? Because he does not want you to figure out that God and you can also have a very romantic relationship, an intimate relationship. And Satan will do everything he can to keep you from getting that. And so if he can squelch this, if he can make you not believe in romantic love anymore, then he can also squelch your relationship with God. The enemy wants you to give up on romance. And he's going to fight it at every level. He wants you to let your love life with your spouse be only as important as changing the oil in your car. Every 3,000 miles. Well, it's 3,000 miles, and I guess it's time to get her done. Let's go change the oil. He wants you to only think of it as important as changing the filters in your air conditioner once a month or however many times you need to change. Well, I guess we need to change the air filters. Let's go. He wants you to only think of it maybe as important as washing the windows once a year on your husband's birthday. Wash the windows, wash the windows. Satan would have you to believe that it's just a physical, a biological act. He wants you to believe that there's nothing spiritual about it, there's nothing emotional about it, it's just a physical, biological act. That's what he's promoting, that's what he wants. But God says, no, this is about love, it's about romance, and God's love and God's agape flowing through you to your spouse is a beautiful thing. And it's more than just finding a way to cross the bridge with anybody. It's about who and it's about why you do it. And it's about God's love flowing through you to do it. He fills our world with fake bridges. Haven't you seen some? Our world is full of fake bridges. They're bridges that we're not supposed to cross. In fact, we need to blow those bridges up. Pictures and movies are saturating us with the notion that romance is everywhere. And when we are engulfed in those other bridges, when we're engulfed in all of that fake romance, what happens? We get to a place where we don't believe in it anymore because we don't feel it with the one person that God has given us to do that with. So where do you begin to have true God-given romance in your life? Where do you begin with that? We've talked already about letting God's love come in. That's really the beginning, letting God's love come in. But let's go to this next step here. True God-given romance with a human being begins with burning all other bridges. That's where it begins. Burn all the other bridges. So this decision is that you will limit your romance to one human being, and obviously with God as well. That's a given. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But true God-given romance on planet Earth with somebody means that you burn all the other bridges. Don't pretend there's anywhere else you can enjoy or get this from. This is where true romance is cultivated, and the bridge is romantically ready at all times. But here's what I see in couples that are continually struggling and having marriage problems. There's a backup plan. One or more has a backup plan. Y'all know somebody that's got this list. They've got a list of people that they're their backup plan. And these are the potential spouses that are they're still maintaining a relationship at some level, whether it be on Facebook or they text them every now and then, hey, how are you doing? Oh, we're just friends. Everything's fine. Everything's good. We're just friends. It's nothing to it. And they do it just enough that if their spouse comes to them and says, hey, wait a second, this is not feeling right. This is not right. Oh, well, listen, they feel like, well, there's no way I could be found guilty. When your wife walks up to the bridge and she looks across the bridge at you and she says, wait a second, what's he looking at? He's got a bunch of other bridges he's looking at over there. How do you think she's going to feel competing with those possibilities in your life? She needs to be able to walk up to the bridge and see a man that is looking straight across the bridge at her, straight in the eye, saying, you're my choice. You're the only one that I love. You're the only one that I'm romantic with, and I cannot wait to either meet you in the middle of this bridge or come and get you. And the same thing goes for you guys, to be able to look across the bridge. The last thing you want to see is your wife trying to get someone else's attention over there. Whoa, whoa, wait a second. I'm over here. What are you wearing that for? That's not what I like. You're wearing that for someone else. Wait a second. Look at me. You want to be able to walk up to the bridge and your wife connect you with her eyes. You're the only one. I've chosen you. Out of the 8 billion plus people on this planet, you're mine. You see, true romance begins with laying all others aside and burning all the other bridges. All the other bridges. I must be stepping on some toes here. I hope not. This is what Jesus meant when he said that looking at someone else with lust is committing adultery. This is what he was saying. He's saying when you look to somebody else and say what it would look like to be with them, what has happened? You created a bridge in your mind with them. And he's saying that bridge doesn't need to be there. Burn it. Burn it. A marriage full of bridges eventually dies, not because it couldn't have been great. Not because it couldn't have been great. Not because it had problems, because every marriage has problems. But because the bridges were not burned. The romance dies because either one or both would not forsake all others and cling to the one of their choice. That's why the bridge is so important. The one bridge. So you have to burn all the other bridges to have true romance in your life. Let it go. Anything that gets your focus off of your spouse, it's a problem. Those of you who've been around for 40 or 50 years, been married, I think my parents are going on 54 this year. They don't even know. They don't even care. Let's just say 64, right? And to our teenagers today, decide now that you will limit your romance to the one. Decide now that you will limit the romance to the one. Oh, John, now you're preaching stuff from the 70s and 80s. No, I'm preaching stuff from the zeros and the tens and the 20s and the 30s. I mean, I'm talking about thousands of years. This is what has worked for romance. You see, romance is like tape. The first time you apply tape, it's really sticky, isn't it? What happens when you pull it off? Try to put it back on something else. It's not as sticky. Why? Because stuff came off of whatever it was stuck to first. And the more that you put it on and take it off, and more that you put it on and take it off, and the world says, hey, this is the way to do it, man. You got to try out and figure out what you want. But what you don't realize is you're taking on a bunch of stuff into your life. You're taking on debris and garbage, and when the right person comes along, what's going to happen? They're going to try to cross that bridge to meet you, and hopefully you've made a commitment in marriage at this point so that you guys can work through it, because he's going to get on the bridge and be like, good grief, where did this come? Or she's going to come on the bridge and be like, holy cow, you didn't tell me about all this. Where did this come from? You got trash everywhere. Who you like and want to have for the rest of your life needs to like and want you too. It's not just your choice. Their choice too. And you've got to make sure that you have presented yourself through this life that is, you need to be sticky. You need to be really sticky. You need to be able to stick to somebody. And you want somebody that's going to stick to you. Now, if you want true God-powered romance, it begins with deciding you will limit your romance to one person. That's where it begins, if you really want it. And that can begin today, even if you've failed. Start again. God can bring stickiness back to you if you let Him. And you can begin to deal with the debris and whatever it was that came off of somebody else, and you can begin to deal with it and clean it up and get your side of the bridge really clean. And get yourself ready for those of you who are single. So it doesn't just need to be with your physical body. It also needs to be with your mind. That's what Jesus was talking about. And with your eyes. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself pure. Romance is about choosing the one to be with. Knowing that you've been chosen out of all 8 billion plus people on this earth by that one person. That's romantic. Listen to the lyrics of this song. Some of you are going to know what this song is. I could stay awake just to hear you breathing. Watch you smile while you are sleeping. That's kind of creepy. While you're far away and dreaming, I could spend all my life in this sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment forever. Oh, every moment spent with you is a moment I treasure. Don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep because I'd miss you, babe. And I don't want to miss a thing. Isn't that romantic? It's a great song. Now imagine that song with Steven Tyler singing it. And as it begins, it goes to one lady and he's sitting there watching her sleep. And we're pretending that it's a beautiful sleep based on the song. And then it fades out, and next thing you know, it's like it's another night, and there's another woman laying there next to him, a totally different woman. Imagine that video. And then it fades out, and there's a different woman. And there's like three or four different women in this video. Can you imagine? Boy, wouldn't that be romantic? That's not romantic at all. What is romantic is when you have one man and one woman saying, out of all these people, I chose you. And I've burned all the other bridges. There's nothing else that's going to keep me from my commitment and faithfulness to you. So let's take this now to a very spiritual level. The key to accomplishing this with a human is to accomplish it with God. Make God your only God. Burn all the bridges to anything else. The first two of the Ten Commandments, the big Ten Commandments, the first two is number one, you shall have no other gods before me. God says, I'm it. Burn the bridges to anything else, anyone else that you think is a god. If you've got a stick that you worship, throw it in the fire. Get rid of it. Decide. Don't have a backup plan. I'm your God. Get me in your life and let me love you and have romance in your life with me. And secondly, he said this, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I am the Lord your God. And look at what he says. He makes it very personal here. Am a jealous God. I don't like it when you worship something else. I don't like it when you've got these other bridges going on and you're pretending that someone else is going to meet all of your needs and all of the stuff that you need in this life and you worship somebody else or something else. I don't like it. I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. What is he saying? He's saying, don't make any pictures or images or statues that you worship besides me. Don't make up a fantasy world of gods. Burn all the other bridges to anything else that you could worship. Isn't that beautiful? He's talking about a romantic relationship with you. I know, guys, that sounds a little weird for us. But when you really get into it and you start spending time with God, there is an intimacy level that you've never experienced before. And when you experience that with God, then you can begin to fill that into someone else's life, specifically, in this case, your spouse. Fake gods are pretense. You believe they'll give you what you want. Oh, that looks great. That's the God I want. I was talking to a lady in the UPS store one day, and we had a moment where there were no other customers there, and she said, so you're a pastor, right? I said, yeah. She said, well, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in that. I'm Hare Krishna. Oh, really? Why is that? She said, oh, well, he's very romantic, and there's all kinds of things that he does for me. So she's told. I was like, wow, that's a whole different perspective. Interesting. He's going to give you what you want. Your God's going to give you what you want. Well, the truth is, our God gives us what we want. Sometimes we just know what we don't know what we want. We think we know what we want, but he knows what we really want. We want health and strength, and we do want romance with him, but it's a different, it's not a self-feeding romance. You believe that these false gods will make you rich, but they can't. They can't. You believe they'll fulfill your every desire, but they won't. Our God can fulfill every desire. And he will. He will. Just when he knows it's the right time. You fantasize that you can control these false gods, that you're powerful, but you're not. You see, marriages are on the rocks today because of the false images and videos that we worship. Never before in the history of mankind has there been so much fake romance available at our fingertips. Never before in the history of mankind. And we wonder why there's so much irresponsibility, failed marriages, not just outside the church, but in the church. We've had focus on the family for, 50 years? And the divorce rate in the church is the same as outside the church still. That's sad. That's wrong. What's happened? We've not forsaken all else, and we've not burned the bridges. And today's the day to begin burning bridges, the right bridges. Don't go home and say, the pastor told me we need to burn our bridge, honey. But see, it's not just marriages that these things kill in our lives. It's intimacy with God. And that's where our hope is. You see, God makes it very personal here. He establishes his position in our lives, and he says, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." And he's not jealous for selfish reasons, but he feels when we turn away from him. He feels it. He feels it. God wants your thoughts to be on him, your affections to be on him, so much, and this is kind of interesting, so much that your love and affection for him is so much that your love and affection for anybody on planet Earth, including your spouse, would look like hate compared to your love for him. Look what he says. Jesus said this, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." What is he saying? Your love for him needs to be so huge that everything else pales in comparison. And that love for him will allow you to be able to love the other people in your life. God wants you to love people. He's not saying you need to hate everybody else and just love him. I've seen people that thought they were getting that done. That's kind of weird. He's saying, love me so much, and then you'll be able to love the other people. You see, God has created a bridge to you, a bridge to come and spend time with him, a bridge. His name is Jesus. There's so much more we could say right here. I know this is awkward for men to think about, but guys, there is a real intimate relationship that you can have with God. And it's so amazing, so beautiful. Spending time with him in prayer, letting him fill you with his love, with his faithfulness, with his favor. It's beautiful. The bridge with God has your good and bad times showcased on it. I believe the first showcase is your sins have been washed away. So as you approach him to have a moment with him, you don't have to stop and see a pile and a rubble of all of your sins and the mess ups and stuff that you've committed in your life that you're so ashamed of. Instead, that first thing is forgiven. Washed away. New life. The times that you overcame struggles, there it is. Man, God helped me through that. On the bridge are all your hurts and your pains, but they're not piles of trash laying around. They're just showcased. Oh, God made it through that with me. God took me through that time of struggle. Your failures, conquered. Your health problems, conquered. Tragedy in your life, conquered. Financial problems, conquered. You made it. And as you walk across that bridge in the morning, as you spend time with God, it's not going to be about all of that stuff. It's a beautiful experience where you get to have a moment of intimacy and God's Spirit begins to speak in you and have intimacy and closeness. And he tutors you and he teaches you what he's saying in his word. It's beautiful. True romance in your life, James David, would you come? It begins when you cultivate your love with God. That's where it begins. Listen, if your spouse is struggling to be romantic with you, this is what the problem is. And don't go home preaching at them. Let them do it. They've got to cultivate their relationship with God and cultivate their love with God and begin to see him as a loving father. You know, sometimes ladies have grown up with a father that really had no business being a dad. And she doesn't know what love looks like from a father. And hasn't trusted God. And let me tell you this. God has always kept his side of the bridge clean. And he's always willing to come and clean up your side if you'll let him. But give your spouse time to cultivate that relationship. Give them time. All throughout the Old Testament, God was telling the people how much he loved them. And all throughout the Old Testament, he was saying, love me. Get a relationship with me. And he was commanding them and he was trying to force them. And some of you have been trying to do that to your spouse. And one day, instead of doing that, love me, love me, love me, God came, Jesus came, and he died for us. And he built a bridge. And now the Father, God, is just there and he's waiting for people who will love him to meet him on the bridge. Those who will. And I say the same thing to you. If your spouse is struggling with romance, just let it be an invitation. Pray for them. Let them grow with Christ. Encourage them to grow with Christ. Pray for them. Love them. Do your part. But it all begins with God today. And I'll finish with this scripture. God pours his love on you so that in turn you can begin to pour your love into others. John 13:34, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Would you bow your heads? Have you met God on that bridge of intimacy? There's so much more teaching that could go into this. There's a whole other level of relationship with God than just asking him to forgive you for your sins, than just asking him to come into your heart. Whole different level. Acts chapter 2 records a moment in time when the Holy Spirit came and fell on a group of people, and the intimate moment of what they call the baptism in the Holy Spirit happened. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing that's available. Intimacy with God. But today, I think what the Lord is wanting me to say to you is, there's some that are here that have been so afraid to get on that bridge with God and even try to experience a closeness. You're afraid that he's going to reject you. You're afraid that you're going to step on that bridge and make yourself vulnerable. And then when God takes a look at you, he's going to point to all the trash on the bridge, the mess that you've not cleaned up, and you're going to have to run from him. And I tell you today, you're wrong. That's not what happens. When you come into a relationship with God, you'll find out that God has already taken care of all of your trash, all of your debris. And you can trust that his love is so deep and so powerful that if you'll just begin to step on that bridge and let him come into your life, you'll have a new beginning like you've never experienced before. He does love you. So right where you are, would you just do that? In your mind's eye, begin to step towards that bridge and say, God, I want you in my life. Would you please come into my heart? Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the bridge that is here. I invite you into my life now, and I want intimacy with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. And the second thing that I would say that God is wanting you to do today is maybe you've got some debris on your bridge between you and your spouse that needs to be cleaned up. Or maybe you're single and One day you hope to have that relationship again, or maybe for the first time. Your responsibility is to keep that bridge as clean as you can. And right now, let me ask you, what's keeping you from true intimacy in your life with another human? What haven't you cleaned up? It's laying there on the bridge, a pile of rubble. It's time that you dealt with it. What's keeping you from being close? Now begin to talk to God about it. God, would you help me clean this up? The feelings, the emotions, the hurt, the pain, the failure, the health issues, whatever it is that's keeping you from true intimacy in your life. God, I need your help today. Ask him. Maybe you need to see the right doctor. But we also believe in divine healing. Let him heal you. Thank you for your healing. Just tell him, thank you for your healing, God. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your help. Thank you, God, for your help to clean up this mess of my life. I want a clean bridge between me and my spouse. And God, definitely I want a clean bridge between you and me. Thank you for helping me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.